Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal Podcast. We have some great guests for you, including Stephen Piercy of Rat fame. We have Udo Dirkschneider, formerly of Accept, currently of UDO. He's here too. And legendary guitar player Ace Frehley of the Ace Frehley Band. And I was going to say of Kiss, but he's not in Kiss. He, of course, is known for all the great work that he's done with Kiss, as well as Frehley's Comet, all the great Ace Frehley solo records. So much great stuff Ace has given us through the years, including his brand new record, Spaceman, which I'm going to go to YouTube Music to listen to Spaceman, because I got to tell you, I'm loving YouTube Music. YouTube Music is a new app that combines everything you'd expect from a streaming service with the magic of YouTube to bring everything to life. With YouTube Music Premium, you'll get ad-free music that plays with the screen off or while using other apps. I'm glad they're finally doing that. That is so awesome. They always needed that feature, and now they finally have it. Get music wherever you want, even if you're offline. Again, seriously, I am loving YouTube Music. So go download the new YouTube Music app today and start a free 30-day trial. I love it. You know, you don't like it after 30 days, just stop it. If you do like it, then just continue on and pay $9.99 per month. Terms and restrictions apply. Yeah, so much great new music by guys like Stephen Piercy, Ace Frehley, UDO. You can hear it all on YouTube Music. Let's get into the episode. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. On this episode, we're going to talk some rock, some metal, and anything else we feel like. We're also going to jam some tunes, have a drink, and share some honest opinions. Thanks for listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Let's get things started. Here's an old classic that sounds just as good today as it did when we were kids.
Everyone's telling me that he was born as a love child.
Love Child, classic accept here on Talking Metal. That goes way back to the Balls to the Wall album. I think that song, that started side two of the record, right? It was so good. I loved it. I had it on cassette back in the day. Oh, we're going to hear from the man whose voice you just heard on that song, Udo Dirkschneider of the band UDO, currently of the band UDO, formerly of Accept. And wow, my wife and I, we saw Dirkschneider. See, it gets kind of confusing because formerly of Accept, currently of UDO, but then he did, has this other thing, or had it, I guess it's over, where he went out just as Dirkschneider and did only classic Accept. And they came through the States earlier this year. My wife and I, we saw him in the city, in New York City. And then we went and saw him in Asbury Park, New Jersey, too. It was so good. We had to go see the set list twice. It was great, great fun. And anyways, I can't wait for you to hear this little chat I had with Udo Dirkschneider, one of my favorite heavy metal vocalists. But first, let's talk to Ace Frehley, legendary lead guitarist, known for his amazing work with Kiss, as well as Frehley's Comet and just plain old Ace Frehley. So much great stuff. He's playing the 78 solo album in its entirety in New Jersey coming up. We got to ask him about that, right? So anyways, let's get into this interview I conducted with Ace Frehley.
Let's rock and roll.
Let's do it. Hey, it is Mark Striegel, and joining us on the line, we have the founding member, one of the founding members of Kiss, and a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, Mr. Ace Frehley. How are you, Ace?
Hey, Mark. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for joining us here again. You know, I'm just blown away because the last nine years, I mean, you've released four albums and Spaceman is hitting tomorrow. I mean, this seems like it's one of the most productive eras of your career. I mean, you're just on fire with the touring, with the recording. Is this all because of your sobriety, or is there more that plays into it than that?
Well, you know, without my sobriety, it wouldn't be happening. So that's a big part of it. But above and beyond the sobriety thing, you know, I guess I kind of feel like I'm making up for lost time.
Right.
I didn't realize prior to Anomaly, 20 years have gone by since I did a record. So.
Wow. Wow. And this
but,
new record,
you know, I'm making up for that right now.
Yeah, and Spaceman, from what I've heard, it sounds great. There's two songs that I've heard off the album, which we'll talk about. But in general, you worked with a guy named Warren Hewart, right, on the record. Can you talk about his involvement and what the working collaboration between the two of you was like?
Well, Warren Hewart is my mixer, and he's... We've worked on a couple of songs in his home studio. He's up in Los Angeles. But most of my work I do in my home studio with my main engineer, Alex Salzman.
Okay.
And pretty much, you know, I fly him in from New York and he stays at my house because I have a lot of bedrooms. And we pretty much just get into my studio after having coffee and start spitballing with
it. Right.
You know, I was doing a radio show the first day I got to New York, and I was talking to those two crazy guys, you know, Jim.
Right. And on
comedian.
Sirius. Yeah. I listened to it. Yeah.
You listened to it?
Yeah, I did.
Did you hear the part where we're talking about spitballing and snowballing?
Yeah. Yep. Definitely. Yeah.
Because I said snowballing, and he corrected me. He goes, no, spitballing.
Right, right.
Is the correct term, but I still like snowballing.
Yeah.
To make a long story short, you know, pretty much a lot of the music I record today for my records, I just do with a click track.
Ah, okay.
You know, with just my engineer, you know, I'll lay down a rhythm guitar track, double it, you know, throw on a scratch bass, and then throw down a scratch vocal. And at that point, we'll give the song a listen, you know, check if we feel the arrangement's correct, you know, double check the melodies and the changes going from verse to chorus to the bridge to solo. And then once we feel we have the right arrangement, so on and so forth, you know, then we get serious with it.
Right on.
And eventually we bring in a drummer, you know, who plays to the click track and also is listening to the music through the headphones. It's a very easy way to work, but, you know, not a lot of chefs in the kitchen. And I really prefer recording that way. You know, some bands still record almost live, you know, but if somebody makes a mistake, boom, you got to do it over again, you know?
Right on. And speaking about the drums, now I saw a picture of Eric Singer at one point. It looked like he was in the studio with you, but is he on the new record, Spaceman, or no?
Not at this point, but he's right. Probably going to end up being on a bonus track. What happened was he came to Warren Huart's studio when I was up there, you know, mixing and doing some finishing over the touches on the record. And we recorded a blues track that I had written many years ago called Empty Bed Blues. And it sounds good, you know, but, you know, blues songs in general are kind of a downer.
Right.
You know. They're not up-tempo, and then they don't have the energy most of the other songs on the record have. But the other reason, you know, that issue we talked about was the fact that I didn't have an instrumental. And every solo album I've done, you know, since my first one in 1978, has had one instrumental. So
right.
I said, I think we got to do an instrumental, maybe put this blues song on the back burner. And Warren said, what do you got? And, you know, I had this chord progression that I had written probably 10 years ago. And I just started playing it for him. And he said, that's great. Let's go with it. You know, he set up a click track and I plugged into a Marshall amp and laid down a couple of overdubs. And we just built the song around this guitar part that I had come up with. And actually, Warren is playing a little lead guitar on it as well.
Oh, wow. Cool. And the lead-off single on the album was Bronx Boy, which I love. The lyrically, it reminds me at times of, takes me back to like Hard Times, your song off of Dynasty. It almost feels like it's kind of a sequel to that or something.
Well, it's obviously autobiographical. You know, a friend of mine, Ronnie Mancuso, who's the co-writer of that song.
Oh, cool.
He brought that track over to my home studio in Rancho Santa Fe. And I wasn't really happy with his lyrics. So we ended up erasing his lyrics and I rewrote the whole song lyrically, pretty much to his musical track. You know, did some more guitar overdubs and thickened it up. And that's how Bronx Boy was born. I just drew from personal experiences growing up in the Bronx.
Right on. And I saw you guys on Fox 5 Good Day New York earlier this week. You played Rockin' with the Boys, which, you know, you got the new band in place.
How did it sound? I haven't heard it.
Well, it sounded great. And, you know, I was working, so I DVR'd it. But I did look online. It doesn't seem like they have it posted anywhere online.
They haven't posted it yet.
Yeah, well.
But you said it sounded and looked good.
Yeah. Yeah, I got it on my DVR. If you want to come over, we can watch it. But
he's got it on his DVR.
Yeah, it sounds great. It does sound great. And I wanted to ask you, the new band, you're now doing three guitars because you got you and now the two guys playing guitars. And how has that changed the dynamic for you on stage?
Well, initially, I was kind of against it a little. You know, I was almost going to tell, you know, the Gene's backup band.
Right.
He's been using for the last 2 years for his vault experiences. I was originally going to say, I only need one guitar player, but, you know, I just let it slide and went with what the lineup that existed. And it actually kind of works for me, and it takes pressure off me. I mean, you know, the other lead guitar player is, you know, he looks like Randy Rhoads a little.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, you saw the video.
He's got the haircut.
And, and he's got the chops too to back it up. So, you know, if I ever have a night where I'm not feeling well or I cut my finger, whatever the case may be, at least I have a backup, you know,
right.
Rhythm guitar player and lead guitar player. So, and they all sing lead. So now we can do four-part harmony.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. I was impressed with the band. I mean, that's the only place I've seen them is on Fox 5, Good Day New York, but it was a good performance. I mean, and the mix was good too.
The Gene's been using them for 2 years, but you know, they're based out of Nashville and you know, they're a solidified unit. They're not spread out all over the country. Like my, band was. You know, my drummer lived in Vegas. My bass player, Chris Wise, lived in Los Angeles. And my guitar player, Richie Scarlett, lived in New York. So, you know, everybody right. had to fly in from different locations. Sometimes people would miss their flights. You know, other problems arose towards, you know, within the last year with them. So, you know, after working with these guys in Australia and Japan, I just thought it would be a lot easier to have a solidified unit that are based out of one city, you know, and have, there's one guy that runs the band. His name is Ryan. He's the guy on the far right in your video.
Okay.
And, it's just like a no-brainer, you know. They're a little cheaper than what I'm paying my band, so I'm saving money on top of it.
Cool. Well, they sounded great on the TV show that I saw. And, you know, the reporter, I forgot her name, one of the hosts of the show that you did, Fox 5, Good Day New York.
The black woman,
I think it was the other one, the white one. She was asking you about a Kiss reunion, which I know you constantly get asked about that. But I found one thing that you said kind of curious. You said, Paul keeps dropping hints to me. And what does that actually mean?
Not to me.
Oh, not to you.
To me.
Oh, okay.
In interviews.
You know? Oh, okay.
You know, if you look at Paul's interviews from 6 months to a year ago, you know, he was saying, when he was asked the question, he said, absolutely not. We're not going to work with Ace anymore.
Right.
In the future, you know, the past is the past, so on and so forth. You know, now he's saying, when people ask him about the upcoming tour, he's going, I wouldn't rule it out. You know, and then he just did an interview for Billboard, and he said, there's a good chance previous members that performed with Kiss will be involved in the end of the road tour. So, I mean, he's dropping hints.
Right on. I do want to mention, too, that you're doing this very cool thing, the Kiss Expo, which I plan to go to in New Jersey. It's on December 7th, 8th, and 9th. And you're going to be performing, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're going to be performing your solo record, your first solo record, the 1978 solo record, in its entirety. And wow, that's going to be absolutely incredible. You've never done that before, have you?
No, it's an idea that we've been kicking around for years. That we even talked about doing like a tour of, you know, major markets, just performing that one album, because it was always, has always been my most successful solo effort. But I think it's going to be great. You know, the more I think about it, you know, I had dinner with four of the people from my record company last night. And when they heard that, they said to me, you know, we should probably record it and videotape it.
Yeah.
We can put it out as a live video. That album was so special among fans that, you know, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And I mean, there's songs off that record that, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think you've ever played them live, like What's on Your Mind and Wiped Out. I imagine you're going to have to go relearn them, or do you still remember them?
I vaguely remember them. You know, yeah. I actually just recorded a version of What's on Your Mind with my wife, Rachel.
Oh, nice.
For her album, we did like a duet on it and alternated the vocals with me and her. But that album's not going to be out until next year sometime. But yeah, I always have to relearn the songs I've written, because as quickly as I write them, I forget them.
Right.
Same with my guitar solos. You know, when I do a guitar solo, I empty my mind. You know, I do three or four passes, and then, you know, we usually take a piece from one take, and the middle from another take, and the tail end from the third take. And that's how we come up with the solo. But, you know, after it's pressed and shipped, you know, I have to, if I'm going to do it live, I have to memorize it.
Right on. And also at this Kiss Expo is Lita Ford, Bobby Rock, and Lydia Criss. I remember meeting you through Lydia Criss back in the 90s, and it seems like you've always had a pretty good relationship with Peter's ex-wife, Lydia. What has caused that relationship to stay so strong through the years, and are you still good friends with her?
I'm very good friends with Lydia. There was never a reason why not to be friends with her, you know? She was always really close friends with my first wife. And, I've maintained contact with her. You know, I've even gone out with her a couple of times, you know, to see bands because, you know, she's been in the same place forever. You know, the Brownstone, her and Peter Criss Court back in the 70s in, on the West Side. So, you know, I've always maintained contact with Lillian. We've always been good friends.
Awesome.
So, in fact, I saw her Monday night.
Oh, did you? Cool.
You know, I went up to Richie Scarlett's funeral for his wife, Joanne, which was so, you know, it was so hard for me to let Richie know that I wasn't going to be working with him in the future. And on top of that, he has to deal with his wife's passing. So, you know, it was a tough week, but we kind of made up and he told me he was really happy I was moving forward with whatever I decided to do. He supports.
Right. Well, I think that's amazing that you were able to be there for him, you know, at such a tough time and were there for her funeral.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
She was a wonderful woman. I actually dated her before Richie dated her. And
wow.
Her. Well, she's from the Bronx, you know?
Right. Wow.
I know her from the Bronx.
Wow. Wow. So was that before you were in Kiss?
Yeah.
Really? Wow. Going way back. That's amazing.
Wow, I'm 67 years old, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, right on. Hey, you did Origins.
Go ahead.
Oh, you did Origins Volume 1 a number of years back. Paul was on the record with you as well as a lot of other people. Great, great album of covers. Will there ever be a Volume 2 of Origins? Will you ever do that again, release another covers record?
I've already started it.
Oh, cool.
I'm getting the check in a couple of days. You know, when I started an album for E1 Music, you know, I get a check. So
awesome. And will you have special guest stars?
To that as well. Excuse me?
Are you going to have more special guest stars joining you on the Volume 2?
Yeah, I'm pretty much, it's pretty much going to follow through with what I did on Origins Volume 1. I'm just deciding on what songs to do and who to invite and to perform on the record with me. But, you know, there's so many people I know because I've been around this business 45 years, so I know just about everybody.
Cool.
So it's not going to be hard to find other people to perform on the record. And I'm still trying to figure out who I'm going to let sing a song. I'm going to try to get Gene to sing a song this time around because Paul sang one on the last one.
Right on.
So, we'll see what happens, you know.
Cool. Well, Ace, I know we were a little late getting started, which was my fault. So I just don't want to take up too much of your time, but I want to tell you that I'm going to be at the listening party tonight, and I hope to shake your hand and say hello.
Oh, great. Please come up to me and let me know who you are.
Absolutely.
I don't know what you look like.
Yeah, I'll be there with my wife, and we'll come up and say hello.
Fantastic. Looking forward to it, Mark.
Okay. Thank you, Ace. Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome.
Better be careful, or you could disappear. You might be bought or sold. No one would even care. Now there's a golden rule. Be ready to attack. Remember loyalty. You gotta watch my back. Crossbow, just trying to exist. I never played with toys. Don't give me bullshit. I'm just a street kid. We seek and destroy. Never thought much of it. I'm just a Bronx boy. Bronx boy.
Bronx Boy by the Spaceman himself, Ace Frehley, off the Spaceman album. Pick it up today, guys. It is just a great listen. Ace is on a roll here, just putting out new music like every other year or so, right? Wow. And on that note, let's get into my interview with Udo Dirkschneider, legendary metal vocalist. Always a pleasure to speak with him. He's got a great new album out called Steel Factory by UDO. Check that out on YouTube Music or Spotify or wherever you listen to your music, and or buy it on iTunes. I still love the physical CDs. I don't know about you guys, but I actually have the physical CD for Steel Factory, and it is an excellent listen. All right, let's talk to Udo. Hey, it's Mark Striegel with Talking Metal, and we have on the line Udo Dirkschneider, who is back with a great new UDO record called Steel Factory, which I want to talk to you all about, Udo. But first, I just wanted to say thank you, because I know the last time you were in New York, Emily from Talking Metal gave you one of our T-shirts, and then you were...
I'm still wearing this sometimes.
Yeah, well, we saw you on Instagram wearing it, and that was so great. So thank you for supporting us.
Yeah, no problem.
That was awesome.
Hello.
Yeah. So let's talk about the new record. It is just sounding great. I'm really, really digging it. There's a lot of songs on the record, like Make the Move, for example, that really have a classic Accept sound to the song. And I had to ask you, you know, last time we saw you play down at the Stone Pony in New Jersey, it was Dirkschneider, and it was a set of all classic Accept. And was that an influence on the writing for this UDO record?
I think, be honest, I mean, of course, if you on tour, you know, and do nearly 300 shows and play only Accept songs for nearly 3 years, and then you start writing songs, everybody was in this kind of mood, you know, on the Accept songs. And then, of course, that was definitely an influence. But, I mean, it's not like all over, but there's, let's say, example, Make the Move, like Bite of Evil, stuff like that. It is really like... can be also on an Accept album, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, Make the Move sounds like it could be right off of Metal Heart or something. I mean, it's just great stuff. I love it.
I don't have a problem with that.
me neither. It's actually what I prefer. Great sounding record, and we're really digging the Steel Factory record by UDO. And at the, you know, there's a new music video out too, which is just great. Yep. One Heart, One Soul. And we see you putting on a vinyl LP at the beginning, I think it is there. Do you listen to much vinyl?
Yeah, I got a lot of vinyl at home, let's say around 1200 or whatever.
Wow. So you, because I know vinyl's kind of popular again, but you've been you've been doing the vinyl thing nonstop since back in the day.
Yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, and also now that, but you said before, and I mean, and now this vinyl's getting really popular again. I mean, now you're selling still a lot of vinyl now at the moment, you know. It's really popular at the moment.
Absolutely. And speaking of that song, One Heart, One Soul, it seems to have a real strong and positive message that is really highlighted in the music video, where we see different races, different types of people, young and old, different religions can all be, you know, kind of coming together. And I think that's a powerful message, especially for these times. Can you comment a little bit on the message behind the song and what we're seeing in the music video?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the idea was One Heart, One Soul. It's like, you know, you're living on a small planet, if you want to say like this, you know. And now what's also going with these immigrants, also especially in Europe, also now in, I was just had an interview with Brazil, you know, a lot of people from Venezuela coming to Brazil, also in America, you know, the problems with the Mexican and blah, blah, blah. For me, it's like, you know, I mean, come on, we're getting more and more people on this planet, and we have to live together. It doesn't matter what kind of religion or what kind of color you have, whether you are black, white, or whatever. I mean, we have to live together, you know, and that's for me, that's the message of the whole song, you know. So we're living in one world, and we don't need any fucking borders, and let's try to live together, you know.
That's,
I think, for me, the message of the whole song.
Yeah, absolutely. And
I hope we hear these new songs when UDO is back in the States. Any plans to bring UDO to the States for live shows?
Carefully we are working on it, so we will see. Maybe we are coming after the European tour in end of April. Wow. Or maybe we are coming after the summer, but I cannot say exactly when, but we are working on that.
Excellent. Well, we will, Emily and I will definitely be at the shows when you guys come back around. And will we hear Accept songs in the set anymore? No more Accept. UDO.
I only say if you want to hear some Accept songs, then please go to Accept.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, still on tour.
So that truly was what you did with Dirk Schneider on the last round here in the state. That truly was the end of it. Absolutely.
Yeah. The end of it. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, very good. Well, you have so many UDO albums and great songs to choose from
I can tell you at the moment we are rehearsing for touring, you know, and this is a nightmare, you know, with 16 UDO albums, it's already a nightmare to put a set list together, you know.
I can imagine.
Really something, you know, but anyway, we do our best and I think there will be a good set list coming up.
Cool. Well, please include some of these new songs, because, again, the songs off the Steel Factory album, the brand new UDO record, they're just really good. I think it's one of my favorite UDO records, if not my favorite. It's great stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I'm really happy with this album. I mean, for me, it's like a really, really good songs on there. And, of course, they have also, let's be honest, they have also some really good other UDO albums, but this album for me is also a little bit special, you know, I don't know why, but it's like, yes, and the response in Europe was fantastic, you know, I mean, cool. Unbelievable, that was really, really good.
Fiddy was a part of your working, I mean, you had a working relationship with him for, I think, like 30 or 40 years, and he's no longer with you guys. I just wanted to ask you how he's doing, and is there any insight behind his exit from UDO?
I don't know. I mean, I think for him it was not so easy, you know, to say, I don't want to do this anymore. I think he was tired of touring. I know that already for the last two, the last tour what we did, he was really like tired of being around in the nightliner and all that stuff, touring stuff. And he wants to be more with his family. And he's doing now a completely, you know, business. He's doing like real estate, you know, it's nothing to do with music anymore.
Wow.
So I think it was not easy for him. And so next week we do the last Dirk Schneider show in Mallorca in Spain. And that will be also the last show with Fiddy. And I think that will be not so easy for him. Yeah, I know that, you know. So, but I mean, he is old enough. What can I say? I mean, he made up his mind about this. And I said, okay, I respect this. It is your choice what you want to do in the future. And here we go. I'm really happy with the new lineup. So we're just rehearsing and the sound is great. I mean, now we call it like Udo and the Kids.
Right. Literally one of your kids in the band. You got Sven on drums. So
Sven on drums, he's 25. The new guitar player is 26. The new bass player is just getting 30. Andre is 35. So let's say, you know, it's like Udo and the Kids now. But no, this is a joke.
Yeah.
I feel really comfortable with these guys. You know, for me, it was also important that I have enough time to find a second guitar player that really fits into the band, you know, and also with the bass player. And I'm really happy and everything. Yeah, the people would see this band will be work, you know, definitely.
Cool. And, you know, we mentioned your son, Sven, on drums. When did he first start playing drums? Do you remember? And when did you kind of look at him and say, wow, he's getting pretty good, you know, maybe one day he could play with me?
He was 4 or 5 years old, but that was too early to say he can play with me one day.
He was really
continuing, you know. He has a small drum kit for kids, then he was always into that, you know. I never thought that he was keeping on for maybe I was thinking, okay, 1 or 2 years and then maybe he's doing something different. No, he was really into that, get some lessons and had his own band. So, and then when I was looking for a new drummer after Francesco, I mean, that was like, I was not really thinking about him. That was more like Biff, you know. Sven was doing the replacement for Nigel. He has some health problem.
In Saxon, yeah.
And then I was on promo in Germany, and the Saxon was playing. I said, okay, let's go there. I want to see Sven behind the drums. And then I was talking to Biff, and I said, here, maybe you know some drummer for me, new one. And he said, yeah, he's sitting behind the drums now with playing with Saxon. I said, what? You mean my son? He said, yeah, definitely. He can play this stuff.
Wow.
So that was the story.
So seeing him with Saxon really opened your eyes to how good a drummer he was.
Yeah, I mean, Biff said to me, come on, we're doing similar than the same music, the style, and he can do that, you know. And then I was asking my son, if you think maybe you can do that. And then he said, yes, but it takes a while, you know. I think he was rehearsing first all the songs and then to be sure that he can do that, you know. So, yeah, but I mean, now he's over 3 years now already in a band, and he did a great job on the new album. Drumming-wise, yeah, I'm really happy. Everything is, perfect for me at the moment, you know.
Excellent. And again, the new UDO record is called Steel Factory, and it is just a great listen. One of my favorite picks of the year. And we are talking to Udo Dirkschneider, the man behind UDO, and of course, all that classic Accept stuff. So you have dates, you have the final Dirkschneider dates coming up, and then you pretty much immediately go out with UDO.
Yeah, we go out on the end of October with the UDO. First do a Russian tour, nearly 3 weeks, and then we have a short break, and then we start in the beginning of January. We start a European tour, I don't know, until the middle of April. It will be a long tour in Europe.
Cool. Well, I'm excited that you have this new youthful energy in the band. I cannot wait for you guys to get back to the States. We really hope that happens in the new...
I'm really looking forward to do this, you know, definitely.
Cool. And we will definitely see you in New Jersey or New York next time you're coming through.
Yeah, definitely. That will be definitely the place, New York and New Jersey, of course.
We saw you last time at the Gramercy in New York, and then down at the Stone Pony, where we're actually going to the Stone Pony tonight to see a show. So,
yes. Okay, good.
Yeah. You take care now, Udo.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay. Oh, and did you get the cookies we left? It was your birthday. Emily had baked you cookies. I don't know if you got those cookies we left for you at the Stone Pony show.
Yeah. I get this. No. Thank you very much again.
You bet.
Okay,
right.
Say
take
hello
care.
To her.
I will.
And, okay, see you then in America.
We'll see you soon. Make the Move off of Steel Factory by UDO. The album is really, really good. I'm enjoying it. I'm not just saying that. I read like a 7-star review or something, 7 out of 10 on Blabbermouth. Was it Blabbermouth? Maybe it was Brave Words. I don't know. But that's wrong, guys. I give it like a 9 out of 10, maybe 9.5 out of 10. It is so good. And for us folks who love the classic heavy metal and hard rock sound, Steel Factory delivers that 100%. Definitely check it out. I mean, you heard the song right there, Make the Move. That about says it all, right? So good. All right, let's get into some brand new Stephen Piercy here on Talking Metal. I saw Rat with Juan and Stephen just recently in Montclair, New Jersey, and it was just a fantastic night. And you know, there's been some stuff up there about some of his missteps at a concert or two lately. I got to tell you, when I saw him, it was 100%. So much fun. What a great night. And they delivered all the songs you'd want to hear Rat play. But anyways, he's got a solo record out. So let's check out a new song off of the new Stephen Piercy solo album. This is You Only Live Twice. And then we will hear from Stephen Piercy and hear all about this new album he's got out. It's Mark Striegel of Talking Metal. What an honor to talk to the one and only Stephen Piercy again. Stephen, how are you?
Very well. Could be doing better with the knee, but
yeah,
all in all, pretty good.
Good, good. Well, I want to talk about the new record that you have coming out, View to a Thrill. It's going to be out November 9th. The songs I've heard sound great. But first, I saw you guys. I saw Rat play in New Jersey. I guess it was 2 or 3 weeks ago in Montclair, New Jersey. Outstanding night and great performance by you and the new band.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you're really delivering what us Rat fans want to hear, which is just all the classics. So, yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah, well, it's the other players that helped making it, like Rat circa 83, 84 and on,
Right. Cool. Well, we'll circle back around and maybe talk about Rat in a little bit, but the album you put out last year, I mean, it was only last year, Smash, was great. Right. I loved the diversity on that record. And now you're back already, like, what, a year and a half later with another full-length release, View to a Thrill. There's so much new music coming out of you these past few years. What's the inspiration behind all this new music you're putting out?
Well, I just like writing, and I have a great writing partner, Eric Ferrantino's, and you know, working with Matt Thorne and guys who I've been with for years and years,
right,
you know, before Rat, you know, we just like writing. And me, I can sit around and write songs all day long. You know, there's nowhere in my place there's not an acoustic guitar, you know, or an electric guitar or something, or a tape recorder. I just love writing. You know, and if I come up with an idea or a concept, you know, I move with it. Like, You to a Thrill is so different from Smash. Smash, we wanted to really cover all angles, play whatever we wanted, acoustic, this, that, try, just do anything. I mean,
right,
it's wide open, you know. So I decided, you know, after dwelling into Smash and making it such a diverse record, that I decided the new one, you know, I'm a James Bond aficionado here, and I just decided, you know, I'm going to write a record that's going to be so nuanced and but heavy and direct and, you know, inquisitive, intriguing, and, you know, let's see if people catch a lot of things in there that I'm doing. I have offered songs to, you know, the people at, you know, do the Bond movies, Barbara, and down over there to do the Bond movie. So I decided, you know, I'm going to make a record, and it's going to be directed, not all the songs, but, you know, a lot of the nuances, and we're going to have a good time with this one, you know. That's what we did, you know, and the songs just came fast. It was crazy. The lyrics never really come easy, very seldom, but the music with Eric and myself and Matt, when we go into the studio and arrange and stuff and start tracking, you know, we could work on one thing and say, all right, put that away, next, go to this. This is much better. So we have a whole different way of how we approach writing and delivering and mastering, and, you know, with this new tech, you know, with this new tech stuff and these little headphones. And so we have a whole different balance, but the record, right, we're very, very happy with it. We should be doing a video soon for another song, probably in about a month, and see what happens, you know.
Cool. Well, the two songs that are out right now, I'm a Rat and You Only Live Twice, I mean, to me, they're very straight ahead rockers. And, you know, you said this is different than Smash. Do we expect that it's more just straight ahead rock and not quite as diverse as Smash was? Like, what are the other songs going to be like on this record?
Well, it's diverse, but it's more rock, more, chorusy, more, it's straight ahead. Yeah, you're correct. It's straight ahead rock, but, you know, there's not a lot of, you know, effects in this, but we love the keyboards that we're doing. We love effects, and I'm just trying to do different things because I've done so much other stuff. You know, I've done like anything, just The Light, which is a punk record to me, to the Rat Records, which will, you know, be Rat, and we'll get to that too, because we plan on Juan, myself, and the new guys, we plan on going into the studio.
Oh, cool.
After I have this surgery done, and write a few new songs for next year's tour.
Awesome. Cool. Well, let's talk about that. But real quick, first I wanted to mention your drummer on the new record, You to a Thrill, Scott Coogan, who a lot of us know from, man, so many different bands, including Ace Frehley and Lynch Mob. How did you connect with Scott?
Scotty was in my solo band years ago.
Oh, was he? Okay.
He went out for probably a couple of years, and very talented character. And he just, since we were out there and he was in the solo band, we just decided, you know, before we got busy again and I had somebody else, and then I'm doing the rat thing. But when he was in the soul band, we figured, you're already playing with us. We're tight as a live band. Let's go.
Right
now, let's go. We want to go into the studio. And he said, sure. So here we went.
Awesome. Cool. And again, guys, the album is View to a Thrill, Stephen Piercy. It's out November 9th. And I'm really looking forward to getting the full album. Again, the first two singles sound great. I again mentioned I just saw you with Rat, which was a great concert in Montclair, New Jersey. And I definitely want to talk to you about Rat, but will you do solo gigs with this lineup with Scott and Eric? Are you going to go out on the road with them?
Yeah, we have another drummer that we're using now. Because Scotty is so busy. Rat is the priority right now, and get back on the map. I've got to take care of some health issues. I've got to have some surgery done here. I won't be doing any live shows, so that goes down within the next few weeks, hopefully.
Okay.
And, we'll be doing some shows, definitely. We already have a festival for View to a Thrill. So we'll be doing some shows, definitely. The records, it's a crazy record. And I mean, there are songs, besides You Only Live Twice, Sky Falling, One in a Million, Malibu, which is way different. Double Shot, Secrets to Tell. And then there's a song, called Not Killing Me, and which I've had the opportunity of talking to Robbie Krieger from The Doors, guitar player.
Wow.
And I asked him at this party, if he would be interested in playing a solo on my record. And he said, sure. So he did. He did a slide solo on this song called Not Killing Me. And it's just amazing. It's total Doors meets Rat meets me meets whatever. But it's incredible that we even got him involved on this record so that he wanted to do it, but people will be very surprised how it just fits. It's crazy, So thank you to him, Robbie, for doing that. Other songs, Dangerous Thing, From the Inside, Violator. I mean, they're all interesting songs. I wanted all these songs on View to a Thrill to sound like they would be in a movie or a soundtrack or something.
Right.
So that was my direction with this record. But once again, thank you, Robbie Krieger, for playing a solo on a song. It's amazing.
It is amazing. I saw him play live a number of years back and was blown away by his technique. I mean, he really had chops. And I mean, when you think of the Doors, you don't think of somebody with I don't know if his chops just got better since the days of the Doors. I mean, he was always incredible in the Doors. Don't get me wrong, but yeah. I never remember him doing fast leads and stuff like that. But when I saw him play, he was technically really proficient.
Well, wait till you hear this. You're going to go, my other plays for the later solo, but when, Robbie plays all the way through and then he does the first solo part. But I mean, it sounds, it's the Doors. It's like when I sing, somebody's going to go, oh, that's that rap guy, which, doesn't bother me. I don't try to sound different. I just try different things, but it's him playing that solo.
Cool.
I mean, it's just incredible. Yeah, it's incredible.
Can't wait
to
hear
that.
Yeah, absolutely. And before we talk about Rat, I just it sounds like you're going in to have some surgery on your knees. And
yeah.
I know myself and all the fans, we just want to wish you the best of luck with that. And we hope that you're back in top form soon.
Sure enough. I mean, it's something I really didn't want to talk about, but I have to say the last five shows we've done were amazing. One show I wanted to cancel, and I'm like, you know, I really never cancel shows ever, ever. Not since day one have I canceled a show, whether I was sick, couldn't sing, I still went out, or, you know, a broken rib, still went out. But I literally had to sit it out, and you know, and I was, it really bothered me.
Right.
That's not me. So I just got this robo brace and just went for it for the last few shows, got another one, and then I get the knee done. So okay. It's be all good. You know,
good.
It takes time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I saw you in 2017 at M3. That was an incredible performance. And then again, just a couple weeks ago in New Jersey, and both shows great. So we encourage everyone to check Brad out.
Yeah, I love the new band.
Yeah.
I love the new band. Pete Holmes on drums, Jordan Zip guitar, lead guitars, Chris Saunders guitars, and of course Juan and myself. It's just, we click so, it's just incredible how we're just clicking. It's like we've been together for 20 something, I don't know, years and years. We just go out there and it's the strangest thing. It's like I said, Rat circa 83, 84, if you wanted to be introduced to Rat, well, this is the version to me, the closest thing,
right,
to be in that entity, you know. And so we're having a good time. I mean, when you don't have to think and look around and you just do your gig, you're on to something, you know. So we're having a good time. We're having a really good time out here. Hopefully, you know, we're selling out shows and people are loving it. So hopefully we're turning some people on.
Absolutely. And I was excited when you got Pete Holmes in the band, because I was a big Black and Blue fan back in the day. How aware were you of Black and Blue back in the day?
Oh God, we were like way friends.
Yeah.
You know, when they first moved here from up north, Robin at the time was living at this house. Long story short, but they ended up pulling in there too, and we've done shows together back then in the day, and we've been friends ever since. You know, and he was playing in Juan's band. We needed a drummer, and we're auditioning people, and we did some rehearsals, and Pete sat in, and I just went, this guy's incredible. What happened here? What's going on here? You know?
Yeah.
So we just pulled him in, said, you want the gig? Think you're amazing, you know? And he is.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're just a very tight unit right now, and it's very cool. It's not even loosely tight, it's tight, you know.
Right on. And you mentioned you're already working on new rap material. Who's doing the songwriting, the whole band, or are you just working on it on your own or with Juan?
Well, it's the same schematic. Rap's a different animal than solo stuff, so you know, Juan will come up with something or I'll come up with something, and bump heads, or we'll just sit there together, and we left the door open for any of our guitar players, you know, Jordan or Chris to pull in, do some ideas. I mean, all we're going to be doing is sitting around me healing for about 3 months, you know.
Right.
So I might as well write, you know, sit by the pool, utilize some time, you know.
Right on. And there had been some rumors that you guys had already demoed stuff like back in early 2017. I think you mentioned there were two songs that you were working on. Do you think those would appear on the next Rat release?
No, that was something that I did with, Warren years ago. And that's something we never really got into. We just kind of demoed one thing, but there's, you know, it's a new breed of rat here, and that's what we go with, you know.
Cool. And are you still playing?
I'm sure it'll eventually come out.
Right.
One day, it's no day, you know.
Yeah. So you still playing a lot of guitar? I know you're a guitar player. We all always think of you as a singer, but
of course.
Yeah. You started on guitar, right?
Of course. Yeah, of course, and I still play all the time. And all the time, there's plenty of guitars around the house. And, you know, I'd go out sitting there, you know, just sit out there. And, you know, I love recording. Just, I'm old school. Just put the turn the recorder on and boom, lay down some tracks.
Right on. And just kind of a random question. Do you ever hear from Fred Curry, the drummer you worked with in Arcade?
Of course. Freddie and I, yeah, my little brother, sure. I heard from Fred quite a lot.
How's he doing?
He's doing well.
Good.
Yeah, he's doing good. He does all these movie tracks and Kings and, you know, sports stuff. And, you know, like I do songs for racing, you know, and I'm still involved in the racing. And so my plate's kind of full. I just got to get more mobile again, and we'll be ready to go.
Okay. Well, Stephen, we wish you the best of luck with the knee situation and the surgery it sounds like you have coming up, and we look forward to checking out View to a Thrill, your new solo record that's coming out in just a couple weeks on November 9th.
Mm-hmm. Yes. The people will be blown away. It's a great record. And there's actually, you know, you can get it on vinyl. There's a special 300 edition vinyl out there. So
cool.
That's all it's going to be. And so we're very happy about it.
Awesome. Cool, Stephen. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
Well, thank you, my friend. I appreciate it.
Classic Rat, Dangerous But Worth the Risk. Thanks so much for joining me on Talking Metal. Wow, some great interviews lately. We're gonna get back to doing more of the new contemporary bands, but a lot of these old guys that I love are still putting out new great music. So we gotta have Ace on. We gotta have Mick Box on. We gotta have Udo on. We got to have Stephen Piercy on just to hear about what they're up to now, because as great as their classic catalog is, they're delivering new great music. So let's go out and support all our heroes who are still out there doing it and rocking hard.
My name's Mark Striegel. I will talk to you next time, guys. Thanks so much for supporting us. And hey, buy a Talking Metal t-shirt, by the way. $20. Hit my PayPal up. Go to talkingrock.net or talkingmetal.com. Just look in the show notes. I'll have the information as to what my PayPal is. And just hit me up with $20. I will send you a Talking Metal t-shirt. Give me your address and size, of course. Or join me on Patreon with a $5 a month pledge or more. And you can also get a t-shirt that way. All right. All right, guys. Later.